We were talking about before the top of the hour break, the defense and specifically the secondary. And again, we don't know how this is going to resolve with Noah Igbinoghene, whether they trade him or whether they keep him if they don't get what they're looking for in terms of trade value or what have you, right? Usually it's, hey, we're trying to trade a guy and then we're going to cut him once we don't trade him, which I think would have been a pretty big surprise. Now, trading him, if they are of the thought, hey, we need to only bring four corners, even though we like Noah, because we need to go heavier somewhere else, that's, you know, again, a whole nother situation, right? If that's the thought, if that's the thought process. But I don't know if that's the thought process because, of course, again, they don't let us know what their thinking is. But I don't think their thinking is Noah Igbinoghene is not good enough and there's no room for him on the roster. I don't think that's the case. Even though he has had a good training camp, I think he's been better in practices than in the games themselves. But he has had a good training camp overall. And he does add some physical leadership to that position and some smarts, okay? Again, there could be two things at play here. I don't think it's, hey, we can't use him, even though, again, he has had a couple of moments on special teams. He's had a couple of moments at corner. I got it. I understand that. It's going to happen, right? He's not Marshon Lattimore or Trey Amos for a reason. He's a veteran, versatile corner who is smart enough that they've had him for 2+ years now. And I think they know exactly what he is and what he's not. And if you tell me, well, hey, we've got somebody better that has deserved and earned a practice squad, I mean, a roster spot. Okay, but I don't know who that person is. I don't think it's Carlin Vigors, who has opened up some eyes. I don't think it's that. I think this might be an effort to, okay, we brought Noah Igbinoghene back for like a 1 year, I don't know, $1.5 million deal or whatever it was, which is relatively nothing. Let's see if we can get a 6th-round pick for him or a conditional 5th-round pick. Let's see if we can get a player that we like, that we don't know if you're going to cut, and you like Noah. Let's see if we can do that. Remember, it's possible. San Francisco, back to Dallas, somewhere he's been before, or someplace new. Somebody called and said, hey, we're looking for a corner. You got anybody that you might be willing to give up? Oh, hey, yeah, we might be willing to consider Noah Igbinoghene if you give us a conditional 5th-round pick. We need to replenish the stock. We could actually go with four corners. So that could be what they're thinking. Don't know for sure, but that could be what they're thinking. Vigors just got cut, by the way. So I mentioned his name a couple of times. Ben Standing just reporting that. Carlin Vigors did just get released a couple of minutes ago. Or, again, reportedly released. So he very much could wind up back on the practice squad. And that is fine. That's the type of player he is. Showed some potential, not consistent enough. Let him keep developing and getting better, right? So that makes all the sense in the world to me. So does Andre Jones. So does Carl Davis. So does, I mean, it looks like, I guess, Sheldon Day is going to be on the roster. We'll see. But here's the thing that I wanted to get to. We talked about this, how improved the defense was last week since we last saw them. Am I wrong to be bullish on them? Like, I heard Coach Sheehan this morning say, hey, and I had a doctor's appointment this morning that took up a lot of time, way too much time. But he's like, am I crazy for thinking that their high end, their ceiling, is going to the Super Bowl? And of course the answer to that is no. What? No, of course not. So am I crazy? I'm going to spin it a different way. Am I crazy to think that this could be a top 15, or let's call it a top 16, top half of the league defense? Am I crazy for that? Because a lot of you would say, yes, you're crazy. Let me give you some numbers, okay, based on last year, and again, last year, it is what it is, right? Years don't always, it's not the back of a baseball card or anything like that. But I'm going to give you some rankings from last year that kind of just show you where we're at. And look, we know the defense wasn't good enough or wasn't as good as the offense last year. We know that. But what we don't know is how much better they are this year. And when we talk about last year, we should use that as, well, of course this year is going to be different than last year. How much different? We don't know. We don't know exactly. But last year, just again, using last year as an example, they gave up 300, they gave up, let me get the right number for you, 326.9 yards per game. Now, a lot of people do not like the yards per game metric, because some games you could give up, you know, 450, some games you can give up 250, and whatever. But 326.9 yards per game in the regular season last year, that was 13th in the NFL. 5.40 yards per play, that was 16th in the NFL. That's a metric that a lot of people, especially the analytics amigos, like to use. The number that was real bad, as we all know, was 137.5 rushing. That was 30th in the NFL. That has to get better. I don't think there's any dispute about that. 4.77 yards per rushing play, 28th in the NFL. That has to get better. Partially, and probably because they were so bad defending the run, they were really good statistically at stopping the pass at 189.5 per game. That's third in the NFL. Now, they also played a hapless schedule of quarterbacks. Really, they did. We all know even Jalen Hurts is not that good during the regular season. He's up and down, but in the postseason, he's great. But it was third in the NFL per game. 6.49 yards per passing play. That was 12th in the NFL. That's basically one top one-third. Now, they had a very low interception rate, 26th. Not good enough. We've talked about turnovers all year. They were fifth in sacks per pass attempt at 8.67%. Of every pass attempt, they got a sack. They were on third down, middle of the pack, 38.16%, 15th overall in the NFL. On fourth down, they were giving up two-thirds of the time a first down, 27th in the league, 66.67. Again, we know how good they were on offense on fourth down, so maybe that's not surprising. In the red zone, they were 22nd in the NFL at 60.38% allowed. And in goal to go, they were 75%, 16th, tied for 16th. They allowed 23 points per game. They did do a decent job of basically not always giving up the touchdown and bending a lot, but not breaking. So when we when we give you all these numbers, that is to say, and you heard, they were top half of the league in several categories. In several categories. It is not, under any circumstances, absurd to think that this defense could be across the board in the top half of the league, and maybe even the top third of the league in most statistical categories. If they improve the run defense just by 20 yards, which is significant, and say they're 117.5 instead of 137.5, and say everything else remains the same or close, they're going to be a lot better. I've said all offseason, nobody cares. If they generate more than 17 takeaways, that's all they had last year, 17, one per game. Remember, they had like six in Detroit in the playoff game. But one per game. If they're at 1.25 per game, 1.5 especially, not even two, on average, 1.5, that gets them to 24, 25 takeaways. That puts them in the top 10 of the league. I guarantee you, if you get 1.5 turnovers per game, you're going to win double-digit games as long as the offense does its part, which I don't think anybody questions, especially with Terry back. So why is the jury, and maybe the jury for me, is Coach Sheehan's show, because that's what I listen to on the way in, and that's what I listen to a lot on my way around the house in the morning. Why is the jury so unconvinced, so down on the Commanders' defense, that they're not going to be improved, that they're going to struggle? Now, the only answer I can come up with is they are playing a really tough gauntlet of running backs and quarterbacks this year, which they did not, from especially a quarterback perspective, last year. But remember, if Marshawn Lattimore is right, and that's a big if, he makes a huge difference. If Trey Amos is what we've seen in camp and the preseason, he makes a big difference. Mikey Sanders still in year two makes a big difference. Frankie Louvu year two in the scheme makes a difference. The better run defense, which I truly believe they are better, makes a difference. It puts you in more predictable, down and distance situations where you can't generally run the entire playbook, where defensive schemes and coaches can zero in on calls because, hey, you're not in second and three all the time. I can't tell you how many times last year they'd give up a 6 or 7 yard run on first down and they'd be second and three. And again, nobody, any offense worth its grain of salt could throw anything in the world at them. But if it's second and 9 or second and 10 or second and even worse, it's a whole different game. If you don't think that adds up over the course of a season, you're nuts. Of course it does. So to me, the defense, which clearly got better in the secondary, clearly got better, I believe, stopping the run, certainly different, but I think better. They got deeper on the defensive line, so much so that now they've said goodbye to Dante Fowler, Jonathan Allen, and Cleveland Farrell, and Jalen Holmes, who made a little bit of a splash last year, because they think they're better. We'll see about Eddie Goldman. That's a name that I'm kind of monitoring. I don't know if he goes now, being that Cleveland Farrell went. Certainly Goldman, you would think, can anchor a little bit better against the run, although he hasn't shown it yet in the preseason. But I mean, you'd think he now makes it, but not a guarantee. We'll see. But for all of those reasons, there's also no way they're only going to average one turnover a game, or one takeaway, I should say, a game. No way. No chance in my eyes. I'd be stunned if the number is 17 or less at the end of the regular season. That would be really disappointing. Dan Quinn and Joe Witt's defenses in Dallas led the league over a three-year span in turnovers in takeaways. Again, I'm not one of these guys, like many of you are, that say coaching is all that matters and nothing else matters. It's scheme, 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 scheme. That's not the way I operate, and that's, by the way, not the way anybody in the NFL operates. But it is what it is, right? If we're going to say, well, Dan Quinn and Joe Witt's defenses have struggled to stop the run over the last two-plus years. Granted, yes, check, absolutely. So Dan Quinn took a radical approach this year to change things up. But if we're going to say that, then we also have to say, well, the scheme worked in Dallas. Year two, it should work a lot better in terms of generating takeaways. And if you could generate 24, 25 takeaways, you can live a lot more. You can live a lot more lives. So again, I think this defense is underrated. I think this defense is better than everyone else seems to think it is. Are you with me or are you against me? Let's go out to the calls and start to get you aboard in the show. Let's go to Sean in Connecticut, line two, to get the party started here in the leadoff spot in the 2 o'clock.